My name is Ladina. I am the pastor of operations here at Fellowship Church. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're joining us online, welcome. Today has been amazing so far. I kind of feel we've already had church, so hey, let's just go home. Just joking. You're not that lucky. So, no, I'm super excited to speak with you guys today. I'm super excited about this message. Like I said, I've been here for about, I'm the pastor of operations. Let's start there. I've been at this church for over 10 years, and I love it here at Fellowship Church. I love our DNA. I love the people here. I love the community that we have. That's why I'm still here, because I just love it so much. I love you guys. It's great to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Before we get kick off today's message, we need to talk about a couple of in-house announcements that are going on. The first thing is that art fair is happening this weekend, and so if you guys have nothing to do about 3 o'clock, after 3 o'clock, our fair is free to get into. We could really use some help tearing down and packing everything up. Our youth team and a lot of volunteers are down there right now serving hamburgers. We're by the derby track. Come help us tear down. Many hands make light work, and come and help us get that all cleaned up so the people that have been serving this long weekend will be able to go home at a decent time tonight. So I just want to encourage you guys, 3 o'clock, it's free to get in. Go maybe grab a burger and help tear down. That would be awesome. The second thing I want to talk about is on August 4th, we're going to have our Big Splash Weekend. So this is going to be an amazing, fun time. And we are going to be doing something we've never done at Fellowship Church before, which is outdoor baptism. And so I'm super excited about that. We're going to have baptisms in the amphitheater. If you have never been baptized or you're signed up to be baptized, we're going to do it on August 4th. So it's going to be a great time. We're going to have a slip and slide, water games. And it's just going to be really, 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 really fun. So please come be a part of that. There's going to be food. We're going to have a cheer tunnel. It's going to be great. We're going to do some worship outside. It's going to be a fun time. So you're not going to want to miss it. August 4th, be here. Because I know where you live since I enter all the information. Just kidding. Sorry. That's a bad joke. All right. Before we get started, I really have to set something straight that Mr. Pastor Anthony said last week. I'm going to get a little fired up about this one because I'm pretty passionate. First of all, watermelon is amazing, okay? It is amazing. I think the problem is you don't know how to pick a good watermelon. So I just, before we get started, I just really have to get this off my chest. I'm just going to go through 5 tricks to help you pick a good watermelon, okay? First, I'm going to do 6. First is seed watermelon are always better than seedless because they're not genetically engineered, so seeded watermelon are great. Look for yellow spots because that will mean that it's a good watermelon. It should be heavy, and we all know to knock on it, and it sounds hollow. Do the smell test, and they actually should have a little tell. So that's maybe why you can't get a good watermelon. Good cold watermelon on a hot summer day, I'm pretty sure, is one of the best things next to Jesus. So, So, I just want to get that cleared up because I don't know if I could have moved on fast. Had a really hard time taking communion last week. So, but anyways, all right, next thing. When we were praying about this message and we were really asking God, you know, what do you want us to do for the fruit of the Spirit? What can we call this? It was not this lady that Anthony thought of. It was not her. Okay, he might have thought that. He forgot what his original thought was. It was actually this lady, and he asked our worship leader to make a song called Get Your Fruit On, okay? And so I just had to clear those things up before I started today because I just wanted to get all the important stuff out of the way before we really get into what God has for us. All right, but now we can talk about the serious stuff, the important stuff, but those two things are had to clear that up, so clear the air. We're good now. All hearts are clear, so. All right. Now, last week, Anthony opened up this series. He shocked a lot of you. He ruined your childhood. He lied about watermelon. But he told us that, you know, VeggieTales were actually fruit. So that was really upsetting to a lot of you. So I'm sorry for that, that they should have been called Fruit Tales. But he introduced this whole idea of what vegetables are, what fruit is, you know, how to tell the difference. And then he transitioned it into us as Christians and how we have flesh and there's a spirit and the flesh and how as Christians we should be bearing fruit. and how we are not to walk in the desires of the flesh, but we are to walk in the desires of the Spirit. And he really cracked open this whole thing. And the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And he talked about how without love, nothing is possible. And how without love, we're just wasting our time. And so today we're going to talk about joy. But before we do that, I'm going to read Galatians 5, 16 through 21. It's kind of a recap of what he talked about last week. Verse 16 says this: "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." And I know he touched on this last week, but I just want to kind of reiterate this idea, is that we wonder why sometimes we struggle and why we fight and why it's so hard, is because we're trying to do the things of Christ. We're trying to do the things of the Spirit, but our flesh is like, does not want to do that. It is holding us back. And so we're at this constant war with ourselves. And so here it's telling us to, we are fighting against ourselves. We want to do the right things. We want to do the things that's right, but we find ourselves doing things that we shouldn't be doing. In verse 18, it says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And so Anthony kicked us off by telling us and reading that verse and going over what does it look like when we're not walking in the Spirit. But today, I get to talk about joy. And let me tell you, when Anthony first told me that I get to speak on joy, I was like, well, he has given me a couple of topics of the fruits of the Spirit. And I was like, good. The ones that I'm not great at. Awesome. Good. And his words, I'll never forget, were, that's awesome. Then obviously you need to talk about them so you could work them out. So I just want to say, I hope you're happy, because God has really been working them out the last few months in my life. So we're going to read Galatians 5, 22 through 26, and just go over what the fruit of the Spirit are. And then we're going to really dig into this idea of joy and how we can live with joy. Verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And so with all of that, you know, we got it all down, right? No, it takes a process to work on things. It's a process to get where we need to be. And so this whole idea of joy has been a process, like I said, for me. I am absolutely not there yet, so don't feel bad if you're not there or you're like, I don't have any idea how to even have joy where I'm at. God has really done some awesome things in my life through hard things that has caused me to find joy. But first, let me tell you what joy is not. Joy is not happiness, because happiness is temporary. And sometimes we think that if we're not happy, then we must not have joy. If we're not giggling and laughing and smiling all the time, we must not have any joy. Because, of course, if you're happy, you're joyful. But that is not the case. Happiness is, like I said, temporary. It's based on circumstances to be achieved. Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with being happy. I'd want to be happy, but I shouldn't look to be happy. I should be looking to see, how can God fill my joy? How can I be joyful? On the other hand, joy is something that sticks around. It does not waver in circumstances, because it's rooted in Jesus. And I was just curious on, like, how much is joy or joyful, rejoicing, how much is that talked about in the Bible? 430 times joy is referenced in the Bible. And that just kind of amazes me. I've never really thought about, like, it is mentioned that many times. That's a lot. But happiness is only mentioned 10 times. And so with all that in mind, I've just been, like, processing, what is joy? What is joy? Because honestly, I'm just like, well, obviously I have no joy. I feel miserable. My life is miserable. I'm not happy. I can't function. I have no joy. But this, over this last month, God has really shown me that is not the case. So a lot of you may know this, some of you may not know this, so this is news to some of you, but my husband received a job offer in Springfield about a year ago, and he had been driving back and forth from Springfield to Salem every day for about a year. And so he had did a lot of miles on our car. He's been away from our family for a long time, a lot longer than normal over the last year. And so we've been praying and asking God, like, what do you want us to do? Do we move closer to your work? Do we stay here? Do you look for a different job? And we both felt like God gave this job to Ryan. So we're like, no, we need to just move closer to his work. And so we, over the last month, have picked up and downsized our over like 1,400 square foot house into like a travel trailer that sleeps eight. Okay. And we've moved to Coburg, which is right outside of Springfield. And my husband is so kind and loving and thought, you know, I really want to do something nice for my wife. I'm going to just get her a puppy because that's the most amazing thing to do, which I love Lucy. Oh, that's funny. Anyway. But, you know, he's like, what's the perfect dog to get for her? You know, of course, a German Shepherd, you know, 80-pound dog. So we live in a tiny house trailer with three kids, two dogs, my giant husband who is leading worship this morning. And I know a lot of you are like, Legina, you're crazy. You're not far off. I am, a little. But going into this adventure, we'll call it, I honestly was dreading it. And a lot of you heard me talk not so positive about it, referencing a lot of things that may happen while I'm gone or what might happen to me, how I might not have any hair left or might be just, you know, mumbling to myself. But it's been interesting because that has not been the case. It honestly has not been that bad. God is so funny sometimes where he has us do things and we are placed in circumstances or placed in situations and he shows up. Can you believe it? He actually does what he says he's going to do. It's weird, huh? But he knew this is where we needed to be at this time. He knew that I needed to be surrounded by tininess and craziness to find my joy. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, it says, Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we could honestly just like in there and be done because that is the steps that we need to take and we're going to be working through those and talking about those today. But that is the steps to have joy, to keep your joy, to receive your joy. Do I have this all worked out? Absolutely not. I've only had a couple fits of rage or fits of anger, you know, which is great because I was expecting a lot more. But God has really shown up. And it's funny how he shows up in the things that we don't expect. And the other day I was laying in my bed, which my room is like just a bed with two doors. Like I can see from one into the other. So I wasn't feeling very great. So I was just laying in my room and Ryan was with the kids in their bunk area, the other end. And they were talking with him and they were just watching a movie and talking. And I was just kind of eavesdropping in, and which is I would not have been able to do in our other house because we're so far away from each other. And Josh was saying how much, my son was saying how much he was so excited to be able to have dad come home and he wasn't tired and he was able to hang out with him. And Ryan, my husband, said, well, that's why we moved closer so that we could have more time together as a family. And he said, I'm so glad that we moved so that we could have more time together. And right there, I was like, okay, God, like, I found joy, even in the midst of my chaos with my kids going crazy, the dog being psycho, my other dog, he's an old man, he's crazy. I found joy. I knew, like, okay, God, this is why you've moved us here. This is why we're here for this moment and this time. It's not going to always be easy, but this is why. And so it was God, like, showing me my joy, showing me why we're doing what we're, why we're where we're at. And in James 1:2-4, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. So what does this verse show us? This verse says to count it all joy when we meet trials. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm going through something, I'm not like, thank you, Jesus. This is so great. I'm like, freaking out, probably cussing a little bit. Sorry. But I am not counting it joy, guys. I'm not joyful. I'm not happy. I'm not excited. I'm none of those things. And I read this verse in Living Small for about a month so far. That's been okay. There's been trials and there's been hard times and there's been things, but I've been lately, instead of complaining, I've just been like, find my joy, find my joy, find my joy. And I know people think I'm nuts, but they already do, so it's fine. But it's like, what is my joy in this situation? How can I find my joy in this situation? And I'm like, okay, God, thank you for where we're at. Thank you that we aren't on the street. Thank you that we have this. You know, I'm thanking God for things. I'm praying, God, give me strength, give me joy. I'm rejoicing. So I'm singing. Now, we're going to talk about that, my singing ability, in a minute, but just hold on for that. But I'm really just trying to think about how can I turn the situation, how not me, but how can I have joy through this situation? That's what I've been trying to do and working on. And I've never really thought about it much until Anthony Ashley asked me to speak on this topic. So God used that to help me there. And so the only way that we find joy is Jesus. And it's, I know it seems cliche and Jesus is the answer, but like legit, that's the only way you're going to find your joy. If you're looking to your joy through your work, your spouse, your friends, your job, whatever it is you're doing, you're not going to find joy. Because joy that we're talking about is rooted in Christ. It's rooted in Jesus. Last week, we talked about how Christians are supposed to bear fruit. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit in, like, in this whole idea of joy and how we can bear fruit and part of that fruit being joy. We're going to go to Jeremiah 17. Starting, it says 8 up there, but it's actually verse 7. That's my fault. So sorry, guys. But it's actually starts at verse 7. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." That's the part that's missing, but and verse 8 said, "He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for the leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." And I read that through actually a different devotional I was doing, and God just really spoke that to me. He like really pushed that on my heart to share with you guys, because I think a lot of times we are not bearing fruit as Christians. A lot of times we find ourselves worrying when things happen. A lot of times we find ourselves getting anxious when it seems like, oh no, what are we going to do here? A lot of times, and me included, we feel dry, or we don't feel like we're being, we're not living, we're not doing what God has called us to do. A lot of times we find ourselves in that situation. But the key to that is trust in the Lord. And we're like a tree planted by water. We're going to have all the nourishment we need. We're going to have all the things that we need. We're going to have all the supplies that we need that is going to keep us green. It's going to keep us bearing fruit. It's going to keep us from going dry. It's going to keep us from all those things. But there, we have to trust in God for that to happen. And maybe some of you today are like, maybe I'm not bearing fruit. Like we talked about love. We're talking about joy. Maybe you're not seeing a lot of that in your life. And I know that I wasn't. I struggle with that from time to time. It's not like we're going to be perfect all the time. But my question that God posed on my heart that I'm going to ask you guys today is that maybe you're not trusting him. Maybe you're not trusting him that he's going to take care of you, that he is actually going to supply all your needs like the Bible says. Maybe you're not allowing him to walk you through those hard times. Sometimes when we don't fully surrender to God, when we're holding on so tight, I know I've said this probably every time, but when we're holding on to God so tight, we're not letting go of those things. He can't lead us beside the still waters, like it says in Psalms. He can't lead us and help us to walk through things when we're holding on so tight and not surrendering to him. We have to surrender to Christ. We have to be willing to allow him to help us, because sometimes we think we can do it on ourselves. We can do it ourselves. And let me just tell you that none of the fruit of the Spirit you can do yourself. It's not going to be real. It's not going to be authentic. It's not going to last. It only comes, like we're going to read a little bit, just in a few minutes, about abiding in Jesus. In order for the tree to bear fruit, it has to be deep in the word, deep in that water. It has to have that nourishment and that flowing through it so that it can, so we can know and understand who Jesus is and learn so that we can be like Christ. Because the bottom line is that's what we're called to be. We're called to be like Christ. We're called to be like Jesus. We're Christ followers, Christians. So when we stop looking at happiness as the end goal. It's like, oh, if I just get this, then I'll be happy. If I can just get this next thing, I'll be happy. If I can just get this next thing, I will be happy. And start focusing on where can I find my joy? Maybe I don't get the promotion I was expecting. Maybe I'm not going to get that job. Maybe my tire blows out on the freeway. But God, you have my joy. I'm going to give you my joy. I'm going to worship you. Maybe living in Coburg in an RV park, God, what can I do for you while we're here? Maybe I talk to my neighbors and actually stop ignoring them and pretending like they don't exist. Maybe I, when I'm taking my dog for a walk, I say hi to people and be kind to others. You know, whatever. Like, maybe God has me there for a reason. I've been looking for opportunities to actually connect with people. My friends have been teasing me about becoming part of the RV club. There's a lot of fun things that happens at our RV park. But anyway, one of them is like an ice cream social on Fridays. And so I was like, my kids really wanted to go. It's free ice cream. So I was like, okay, fine, we'll go. And so this lady started like talking to me and engaging, and it was just really cool to actually interact with people. I think sometimes we forget how to interact with people. And I'm excited to see how God can use me there at my RV park and my RV club. So, but I'm just excited, actually. I'm excited to see how God can use me. Instead of like, I lived at our house for like 2 years, and I didn't really even talk to my neighbors because I just wanted to be left alone. It's not very nice, I know, but it's true. So I'm real. I'm not the only one, I know. So, all right. Okay, so John 15, 1 through 11, it's a long section of verse, but we're going to talk about it. Anthony read it last week, but I really felt like we were supposed to read it again. And he told me, Ladina, I read that last week. And I said, oh, I didn't even know you read it last week. So maybe you're like me and you need to hear it again. So it's all right. So John 15, 1 through 11 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, I'm going to pause here for a second because God really showed me that sometimes we're in the season of pruning. And like we read in James about count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials and various kinds, because it's the testing of your faith that produces steadfastness, sometimes we're in the season of pruning. And I don't believe God's like, oh, I'm going to set them up for this and this and this. I don't believe God does that. I think that we have things in our life that happen, and God uses those things to grow us closer to him. I don't think he causes those bad things to happen. I think sometimes we live in a fallen world, and so because of sin, stuff happens, and how we respond in those situations, is God going to use us? Are we going to respond correctly, or are we going to respond negatively? But here, God was showing me that sometimes he prunes things out of our life. Sometimes friends, sometimes family, sometimes different things. He's going to prune them out for a season. Because when I was growing up, we had cherry trees, we had fruit trees. And during the off season, you had to prune the trees. Because what happens when you prune a tree or you prune a plant? What happens? It grows back. It grows back with more fruit. It grows back with more beauty. It grows back with more flowers. Because you have to cut off the things that are not healthy. You have to cut off the things that are dead. You have to get rid of those things out of the plant's life, or the plant can't be prosperous, and a plant can't grow and be what it was meant to be. And sometimes as Christians, that happens to us as well. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Verse 4, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and in my words, in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. When I read that, it was like God hitting me upside the head with a 2x4. It's like, what are we supposed to do as disciples? We are supposed to bear much fruit. We are called to bear fruit. Lost my place. Okay, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, as just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So this is where we talked about love being the foundation of every other fruit that we have. Without love, none of this is worth it. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So I was looking over this, and it just was a reminder of how we can't do anything without abiding in Christ, truly abiding in him. And without him, life is worthless without Jesus, honestly. It's hard being a Christian. It's hard fighting the flesh. It's hard trying to live in the Spirit. It's not easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it to see people's lives change. For me, it's worth it to see God do amazing things in my kids' life, in my family's life. It's worth it. I'm going to hone in on verse 11 because we're talking about joy, and we just read that big passage, and it says, again, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in my joy, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And so this is the key to our joy being full, abiding in Christ, having love. Those are the things. Like I said, joy is not something we can just wish into existence. You can't just be like, I wish for joy, I hope for joy. It's only given to us through the Holy Spirit. And when you ask Jesus in your heart and you're a Christ follower, the Spirit is living within you, and he can produce this joy inside of you. And it's something that lasts. It's not something that will fade. Like I said earlier, in my flesh, over this last month, I've only had a couple freakouts, but in my flesh, living in this small space, I probably wouldn't be able to stand here. I probably wouldn't be able to speak on joy because I wouldn't be able to tell you that God can do crazy things in weird circumstances. And how do I find my joy? God used a lot of different things. We don't find our joy in people. We don't find our joy in our friends, our work, our jobs. We find it in Christ. But he can use some of those things to show us joy, like he did my son. And one other way is worship and singing and just really pushing myself to a place. When I'm worshiping Jesus, it's hard for me to like be negative about something. When I'm actually singing songs really loud, there's a reason I'm not on the worship team. I'll just say that first of all. Cat choking on a hairball. Second thing I'll say. So that's what I sound like. So my kids are really blessed when I sing loud in our tiny house. So our neighbors, I'm sure. But sometimes I have to just belt out worship to God because that's the only way that I'm going to make it through. That's the only way that I'm just going to find my sanity is just worshiping Jesus, crying out to God. And he meets me there and he pushes me to a place of joy. In Psalms 5:11, it says, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing for joy and spread your protection over them, and those who love your name may exalt in you." And then again in Psalm 16:11, it says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At the right hand are pleasures forevermore." So again, it just is reiterating this idea of like, in God's presence, there's joy. When we cry out to God, when we're singing out to God, there's joy in his presence. There's a song that's been on my heart. I'm not going to sing it for you. Don't worry. But we're going to actually end up singing it today, and it's to raise a hallelujah. And I'm just going to read this little section of it because whenever we sing this section, I'm like, yeah, quietly inside so you guys can't hear me. But I'm like shouting it on the inside. But it just says, "I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death defeated, the King is alive." And just that section of that song just is reiterating every verse that we've been reading today, that God's presence is there in the midst of the storm, that his joy is going to find us, that when we're having those problems, we can just cry out to him and he's going to be there, and then that we don't have to live in a world that doesn't have joy, even when your world is falling apart. Over the last year or two, it's been a crazy year in my family. My family has literally been ripped apart by situations, has literally been people in my family not talking to each other, and I'm in the middle trying to figure it out. And at that time, I was like, obviously brokenhearted and sad about it, but I was also excited because God used that horrible situation to reach my dad, and my dad prayed for me the first time in like 20 years. I've never heard him pray the way that he prayed for me one day after everything, this crazy thing that happened with my family. And I said, well, I guess God knew what it took to get your attention. And I was kind of laughing, and he said, well, I guess so. I mean, he wasn't excited about it, but like in that moment, I had joy, because even though my family is still suffering from the situation, my family is closer to God than they've been in a long time, because God used this trial, this circumstances, this thing to bring my dad closer to him. And that makes me joyful, because I'm going to see my dad in heaven. Like, that's exciting to me. Like, and so it was really exciting for me to hear him and to be on the other side of the situation. I mean, it's not over yet, but being on the other side of it, I can see that. And it's really cool that we have that hope that death is defeated and Jesus is alive, and we can worship and we can be excited and we can praise God for that and have joy in all that we do. Psalms again, we're going to, a couple more verses and then we're going to wrap it up. But Psalms 32:11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Again, just that idea of shouting for joy, being glad, rejoicing. And then Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I so want to do like a run, but again, I'm not musically talented, so I'm not going to do it. But in your mind, some of you guys are singing that song, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But again, it's just reminding us, and God's word is just reminding us that to rejoice in God, to praise him, to thank him, to be joyful in him, and we can find our joy. As we close, I'm going to read three more verses, because I want to reiterate kind of this whole idea and tie it all together. The first one is Galatians 5:22-26, and it's just the fruit of the Spirit. And I just want us to kind of read over it again and meditate and really think about some things that maybe we need to ask God. God, how can I be producing this fruit? God, how can you help me produce this fruit? We can't produce it ourselves, but how can God produce this fruit in me in the circumstances that you're in? Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And then we're going to read Jeremiah 17:7-8, and it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. That is my prayer for me. That is my prayer for you guys, is that even though these things are going on around us, that we're not ceasing to bear fruit because of our circumstance. That we're not going to stop praising God, that we're not going to stop worshiping God because of our circumstance, but we're going to keep going. God has put you here in your life, in your situation, in your circumstances. You're here. Maybe hasn't caused the situation, the circumstance, but you're here now, and God wants you to use that to bear fruit. He wants you to use that to reach people, because that's what we're called to do, is to reach people for him. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-8, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know what God's will for you is? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's what we're called to do. When things suck, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you guys want to have more joy in your life, if you really want to be bearing that fruit, if you want God to work it out, be ready. He can move you to a tiny trailer, but pray and ask him, you know, how can I do this? We need to start with love, like we learned last week. Love is literally the foundation. It has to be real. Your love has to be authentic. It has to be genuine, and it's from Christ. The only way to have that is being in Christ. Love leads to joy, And joy leads to peace, which we're going to talk about next week. And so if you're trying to be happy, stop. Stop trying to be happy, because happiness is not what you need to be trying for. We need to start praying and asking God for joy, which is permanent. And so we're going to close this up, this message today, and I just really want to give you an opportunity to, if you've never received Christ, to do that. So I'm just going to ask everybody to kind of bow your head. And if we don't do this out of religious obligation or duty, but I really want us to think about what we've been talking about today. And maybe you're here in church today or listening online, and you're like, I have no joy. I have no love. I have none of the things you're talking about. And that's because maybe you're not abiding in Christ completely. Maybe you haven't asked Christ in your heart. Maybe you're not following him. Maybe you haven't taken that next step in your faith to say, you know, I really do want to surrender my life to him. The Bible says that today is a day of salvation, and it says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the most amazing thing about Jesus is that he loves us where we're at, and he wants to walk beside us and help us produce those things in our lives. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to just ask you to do a quick evaluation and just say, God, do I need to make that choice in my life? Do I need to fully commit and to surrender to you? And if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand or look up at me. I'm going to pray with you. I'm not going to call you out. If you're online today and you've made that choice or you want to make that choice, please let us know. Send us a message. You can email us. Let us know, because we want to pray with you. We have a gift for you. We want to talk with you. But maybe you've already made that step. And maybe you're like, I'm following Christ. I'm a Christian. But I'm just not bearing fruit. I'm just not being productive in my walk with Christ at all. Well, let me just tell you something. You don't have to sit there and not bear fruit. You can ask God, God, how can you help me bear fruit? Today after service, we're going to have a prayer team in the back. Go get prayer. Break out of your comfort zone. Ask for prayer. People want to pray for you. We want to help you grow. We want to see you be successful, and we want to see God use you in many ways. And you need to bear fruit. You need love. You need joy. You need peace. You need patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness. I don't have mom right. But God wants that for your life. So if that's you today, and maybe you are like, hey, I'm Christian, but I need some more fruit. I need to bear more fruit. I'm going to pray for us all today. We're going to worship. But after service is done, go get prayer and ask somebody to hold you accountable to actually, you know, maybe you need to read your Bible more, get into God's word, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks. That's how we get joy. That's how we can keep our joy. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you, God, that you are our King and that you have loved us so much, God. I pray that as we get ready to worship you, God, that you will wake us up. God, that if we're in a season of pruning or we're in a season of drought, God, that we will remember that by trusting in you, we can become that tree. God, that you want us to bear fruit. You want us to be your disciples. You've called us to reach others, God. And if we're not having any fruit in our lives, no one's going to want to see that. No one's going to want to see what's the point, God. But help us to be emulators of you, God. Help us to be mirror images of who you are, your love, your faithfulness, your joy, God. I pray that for everyone in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.